I am very excited about this particular sermon. Very, 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 very important sermon. And I'm preaching from 1 Corinthians 13. It's on Christian love. Christian love as being at the top of importance in our lives. And you get this sense when you find out that the Bible says things like God is love. And love flows from Him as our standard, as your standard, as the foundation of your Christian heart in action. Love is Jesus' great commandment. And love fulfills the law of Christ that we find in 1 Corinthians 9, a few chapters back, and in Galatians 6, the law of Christ. And Romans 15:30 indicates that love, Christian love, always know this, comes from the Holy Spirit, as Galatians 5:22 explains that love is the fruit of the Spirit that He produces in you, in us, Christians. So love undergirds everything about God, Christ, doctrine, theology, existence, and goals. Love undergirds it all. And it builds on it. It's even at the top. Coming into chapter 13, we learn that we all have gifts from God. All of us do something. And Paul says, earnestly desire the greater gifts. And then he says this, and I show you a still more excellent way. Now, what is the more excellent way? It's the love way. Now, listen for it as I read chapter 13. Paul wrote, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and that right there means with others. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, which is the gift of supernatural knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the complete, the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have also been fully known. But now faith, hope, love abide these three, or these three remain, but the greatest of these is love. Prepare your heart for this sermon, your most excellent way. And pray with me. Father, we do pray that we will take in and become experts on the most excellent way, and that you will live that through us, the love of Christ, by the Spirit, to manifest to others over and over and over and over again, intentionally. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the sooner you realize that love is the deepest doctrine, the greatest gift, and the mark of the highest attainment of spiritual maturity there is, then the more you appreciate this godly attribute. You know, people study a lot of things to become sophisticated Christians, or what they would call themselves mature Christians, because of what they study and they learn. Study Christian love, and you are partaking in the diamond revelation, and I don't say that lightly. The thing about Christian love is that you can study it to be an expert, and you will still find that it has an infinite number of lessons to teach you for continuous learning. And a foundational one is that God wants you to revere the extreme importance of Christian love. And recognize how easy it is for Christians to choose not to manifest Christ-like love when they should be doing so. And it's one of the reasons why the Lord wants you to become an expert, to consistently manifest His love, doing so like a Christian love specialist. And so instead of using adjectives in this chapter to describe love, like, for example, beautiful or glorious or supreme, which this Christian love is, by the way, Paul uses 15 doing words. Now think about this. They're verbs, doing words, in three chapters. That's what he goes on with this, to define what you need to know about what to do. Because love is action. And with you, as you do love according to God's word by the indwelling spirit, think about this. God is using you as part of defining his love through your actions. In other words, you are a living example of this gift that God works in his people. You become part of the definition of love when you're doing it. This is what people see, they experience. So think of Christian love as fruit of the Spirit that you have, but you have it to be used, to be shown. And one huge expert lesson is that love is always others-oriented. Others are supposed to experience this Christian love from you. So what we get as we hone in and we are getting our expertise, we get verse 4, and it says, love is patient. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love and patience. Now, remember the other's orientation. You want your patient love to be fruit that people harvest from you for their benefit. And so this word for patience here is also translated as long suffering, suffering long. You must endure long when dealing with people and manifesting this love of Christ. Enduring discomforting things from someone could go on daily. It could go on weekly, monthly, yearly. And it means you do this long suffering with this without retaliation. But it's much more than continuance. It's putting contempt at bay. The contempt which can easily come because someone just irritates you. And this patience destroys roadblocks with people who are more difficult to love. And let's be honest. We all know that there are some people that are very difficult to love and some who are more difficult to love than those people. And so by being long-suffering in your love manifestation, you're demonstrating the true value of people in Christ that's always there and the way God thinks about them. God is love and God loves them. And so when you bear with frustrating Christians, you're overcoming the frustration. So that irritating person, they may be very needy, and that might be something that actually bothers you. They may annoy you, or they might be offending you. The thing is they press gravel into your life. Patient love is what you need for what they need. And this is how the Holy Spirit deals with us, deals with you in the real world. In the real world. Become an expert, you're getting pushed into maturity. You are understanding that love has a framework in which it's being tried and tested in our lives, in your life, forged. I get this all the time, the Spirit teaching me this. Forced to come out through the perseverance. Through my perseverance, through your perseverance. Love really is the diamond revelation. And so now let's think of love like a diamond. You know, the only way that coal becomes a diamond is through lots of pressure, lots of heat, and a long, long, long time. For love to develop into consistency, into this pure manifestation, diamond manifestation, it has to suffer the pressure, the heat, the tests, and the time. And this is what it takes with you too. Now with that, the next thing that you get for your expertise in Christian love is to know that love is kind. And this is also described as a fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22, where it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love and kindness. Now, what does this kindness look like? Well, Ephesians 4:32 tells you, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as. It says, just as God in Christ Jesus also forgave you. That is an amazingly beautiful verse. You might want to write it down, Ephesians 4:32. So your love template is kindness as God shows us, right? And it makes sense since it's a fruit of the Spirit. And so understanding this, God wants more than a kindness demonstration. Now listen to me. He wants more than an act. And the reason is because there is a way of acting kind, which is a fruit of sin. You see, con artists act kind as a ruse. Manipulators, they'll act kind. And the act is because they want something. God wants you to be kind to purely benefit others. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Okay? You're passing it on. You're obedient that way. And it's to be kind just for their benefit. He said, whenever I find myself coming to certain crossroads of testing with others, I'm just like everybody else. We all get crossroads of testing with other people. Kindness is not something that I naturally feel like giving to them. It's easy for me to think certain people don't deserve kindness. And in this kind of test that I go through, my heart might have been hurt. You know, and in my bruised state, at least I think I'm bruised, what is going on is I don't want to be kind. Or I get this kind of justice attitude, you know, about certain Christians. And so the natural way of unkindness, it's a universal way of dealing with people who are thought to deserve it for their actions. This is just the way of the world, for their actions and for their beliefs, even their decisions, when we think that they're wrong. And the Spirit, through His Word, confronts me. And He confronts you too. And what I know is that my heart is not the standard. The heart of God in Christ is the standard. That's what we're getting from His Word. And so on this one, practically, you may say that you love someone all day long, but if you're not kind to them with intentional care like God has for them, then you're not doing the love that God's talking about. It's a standard. And then Paul gives another action word for your expertise. Remember, we're becoming experts. And it's what love is not. Love is not jealous. Now, Galatians 5 magnifies this one as well, and it says this: the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are strife, jealousy, envying, and things like these, Paul throws in there, so you can figure that one out. But he says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Strife and envy walk hand in hand with jealousy. And my Greek lexicon defines this word as having intense negative feelings over another's achievements or success. Beware of this dark area which can take up residence in your heart. And you know it's there when something good happens to another person, but you just don't like it. Or some attribute of another person is positive, but you're negative about it. Love, on the other hand, is delighting in what God is doing with that person and in what God has blessed them with, and is blessing them with, and will bless them with. And so love, Christian love, alerts you to when this dark area tries to take up residence in your heart, and what it does, it intervenes. Then Paul explains something else which is absent from love for others. He says, love does not brag. Wow. Anytime you brag about what you have, or what you can do, or what you've done, or something that you're consumed with, you know, yourself, well, then what that is that's corruptive love, because that's corrupted love of self. It's self-love. And people who are consumed with self-love have a difficult time manifesting this others-oriented love that we've been examining. They become experts on love for their self. They prefer to praise themselves and their own accomplishments than praise others. They prefer to put their own selves first. And if you find that you have a tendency to brag, then you need to listen to the Holy Spirit more than you're listening to your own mouth. Quit bragging about yourself and start doing what love actually is. By building yourself up by bragging, this is what you're doing. You're tearing others down. And so keep yourself on ground level where God wants you. Turn your eyes away from yourself. Speak words to others which build them up, and tell them things like you appreciate them. Tell them that they are a blessing, and encourage them in their accomplishments. Point out the blessings of people to others so that they will appreciate those people too. You know, it's like the line from the old Christian song, which says this: he used to be a restless maverick, like a stray wreaking havoc. Now he speaks a foreign tongue, words that care and heal and love. It's that new spirit that he's of. You see, everyone knows what the opposite of talking about people in an uplifting way is. The opposite. It's called gossip. It's called criticism. It's called fault-finding. It's called tearing down. But nobody is accused of being a braggart or a gossiper when they are using their words to build up others. They're known as encouragers. Fruit of the Spirit. Speak those words of care and healing and love about people when you discuss them with others. And then Paul explains something else that's an enemy of Christian love. Love is not arrogant. And this arrogance is literally translated in the word as being puffed up. That's the literal meaning, puffed up. And it's another self-love issue founded in pride. Arrogance is when someone wants to have their way, but they think it doesn't matter what others think or how it affects other people. Arrogance is the opposite of humbleness. And Philippians 2:3 has the love replacement remedy. You're becoming an expert? Listen to this. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard everyone else as more important than yourself. That really sums it up. And you do it, it buries arrogance in the grave where it belongs. If you detect arrogance in yourself, then you know that you're doing something against love. You're eclipsing it. And if others detect arrogance in you, well, it becomes their experience of you, and that's not what God wants. Then Paul explains something else that's not love. Love does not act unbecomingly. This means love does not behave shamefully and disgracefully. To do it is to act in such a way as to just think of dishonoring someone. Being rude does this. Simple terms. Being rude to someone does this. But love honors every Christian for being a fellow member of the body of Christ. And with that honor, being rude is replaced with care, with giving them preference, with helping them, you know, even counseling them, just paying attention to them. Disgracing them is never the right approach. And Paul explains something else that love does not do. Love does not seek its own. And so Paul means love does not seek its own benefit as it's being expressed to others. And this harkens back to what Paul said in 10:24 and 10:33. Let no one seek his own good but that of his neighbor. And he said, do as I, Paul, do. Please all men in all things, not seeking your own profit, but the profit of the many. So seeking the good of others, the profit of the many, requires some self-sacrifice. This is the kind of love we're talking about. You may have to give up time. You might have to give up some money. You might have to give up some recognition. See, love seeks to love no matter what. And then Paul explains something else that's the opposite of Christian love. Love is not provoked, meaning love is not provoked by others. Always consider the by others and to others orientation that Paul means. Love is not incited to raise up and retaliate. Love is not stirred up to become reactionary. And if you're incited to raise up and retaliate toward others in the body of Christ, you know you're not operating in that in Christian love. Being stirred up against sin is a different matter. It's different. We hate the sin, just like I was talking to someone this morning, and they said, we hate the sin, but we love Christians. Amen to that, brother. And no Christian does everything perfectly. Being provoked to biblically stand against sin, to confront sin, and to hate sin is good. It's our calling. But in our other aspects of our calling, we are never allowed to hate a Christian discovered in sin. We are called to Galatians 6:1, which says this, and very important words, listen to this. If a Christian brother or sister is discovered in some sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. And then it says this, do it knowing that you can easily fall into sin yourself. This is the wisdom of God in God's word, man. It just covers every detail. And we're becoming experts, right? True Christian love is never provoked to hate or hold a brother or sister in contempt. And then this gets to the next thing that Paul puts for you to become a love expert. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Now, most of us can probably think of a time when we've been wronged by another Christian. And if you can think of it, then you've not forgotten it, right? Well, on this one, not taking into account is not the same as erasing your memories. All right, follow this. This has to do with what you do with the memory. And in my years of counseling, I've noticed an accounting trend that people will keep when they are seeking to have contempt for others. I've seen this over and over in people's lives, and when I do counseling, I actually speak this out. But what they have is it's like a box. And that box is the account that they have of everything negative they want to store in their heart against someone. And that box is what they use to try to justify their unloving thoughts and their actions. And so what happens is they identify things that are negative about the other person, and they put them in this box. And since the box is filled with negatives, the box keeper can always point to it as the reason for the way they're thinking, for what they're doing, for what they're planning on doing to hold back love. Love like we're learning it. And so this box is really an account meant for unforgiveness. Follow me. Get rid of the boxes in your life that are meant to hold back forgiveness. Any of us are in danger of being box keepers. But there's another kind of account, and it's 1 Corinthians 13, what we're studying. And a love account we've been studying crushes the box of negatives stored in your heart against someone. So when you remember a wrong, just don't put it in the box of faults meant to give you reasons to hold grudges against a Christian. You know, to keep treating them like they exist as the wrong itself. That's just not true. To treat them like that is wrong, but to treat them like they are the result of what Christ did for all of us on the cross is right. They are what Christ is doing in all of us every single day through his molding and through his spiritual work. They're not perfect, and neither are you. The perfection that God sees in us is his Holy Spirit living in us. It's the covenant that he made on the cross by grace through faith. And now as the Lord teaches us on this, he's not saying that this means that we're supposed to approve of unrighteousness. Paul says next, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Well, this can be worded as love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, iniquity, or injustice. But then Paul comes right back and he gives the positive manifestation of what love does. The Spirit says, but love rejoices with the truth. And the verb Paul uses for this makes a fluid statement that goes like this. Love is joyful together with the truth. Joyful together with the truth. And so the depth of this is that our Christian love shares in the joy of God's truth, the gospel truth. 2 Corinthians 11:10 and 13:8, Paul said this, the truth of Christ is in me. We can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. Although we all disagree about some things, and we know that we do, we actually know we agree on the gospel which binds us in love. On the other hand, the lost world culture hates the truth. Romans 1:8 says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So even if there may be nothing apparent in your life right now that is a cause for joy, in our Christian love, we can be joyful together with the truth of Christ and his salvation, with our understanding that we have a relationship of beauty with God. But then Paul says that love does something else in 13:7, and it's more expert material. Love bears all things. Love puts up with all the hardship experienced with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Love never gives up on other Christians. It bears what is uncomfortable, grimy, exasperating. It bears what is burdensome. Because Christians, like I said before, and like we all know, and I probably don't need to tell you, you know I don't, but Christians are mistake makers. Carrie is a mistake maker. You are a mistake maker. And Christians are needy. Christians are not perfect, only in Christ. And when their imperfections touch you in some way, it can be a very, very heavy load for you to handle. And when you get tired of burdens, you can easily want to drop the burdensome people. So becoming an expert, if you get to the point of wanting to drop someone out of your love, the Spirit wants you to remember, bearing all things with a brother or sister in Christ is another way of saying, I'm going to continue with you and bear with it, even though it's uncomfortably weighty. I want to do it. And then Paul says, love believes all things. Now remember, these are statements concerning others. Love seeks to believe all the good things in Christ concerning your Christian brothers and sisters. God doesn't want you to be gullible, but what God wants in this love manifestation is for you to believe everything God tells you about the other members of the body of Christ, all things that you're supposed to believe God says about the body. This is what others in the body are supposed to believe about you too. Believe God has bestowed his grace upon all whom embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior. Believe that we're all members of one another. Believe that we all have spiritual gifts meant to build up each other. Believe that we are all important, important to God, important, just important. Believe that God says that if we sin, Every single one of us have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, the truly righteous one, 1 John 2, 1-2. Believe that for them. Believe that God says that we're all one big family. Believe it. Believe that God says that we will know each other forever and ever and ever, and this time that we know each other is just part of it. Love believes all these things. They're the truth of God. And then Paul says this, love hopes all things. In other words, love hopes all those things we believe are true for every member, every body that's a Christian, even those who are weak or they're crass or they're hard to get along with or they're prideful or they're arrogant or they're prone to sin in dramatic ways and on and on and on. You know, the hope of God's love is that the blood of Jesus has cleansed them from all their sin. Hope that Christ will never leave them nor forsake them, as his word assures you. It's hope. Love also hopes the rest of the body will learn all these ways of manifesting the love of Christ as well, right? And so what we hope, their own fault-keeping boxes are going to be emptied. Love hopes these things. The next thing Paul says is, love endures all things. Christian love is able to withstand anything, everything. And unsaved people are perplexed by this. They just can't figure out why Christians, when they're submitting to the Spirit, just keep on loving in deeds and actions that won't be stopped. You know, the early Romans had a poetic name for the first Christians, and it matched our association with Christ. They saw the love, so they called the first Christians Christiani, which means to be made up of mildness and kindness. Christiani, mildness and kindness. Well, Christiani rhymed with Christiani, alluding to the fact that the lives of Christians rhymed with Christ and his life in them. And so even in our day, you want your love to rhyme with Christ's love in an enduring manner which reflects the reality that's in all of us. And then Paul punctuates our love lesson with this, saying, love never, ever fails. Various ministry gifts of the Spirit may be lacking among a small group of Christians. Also, certain gifts of the Spirit for the body won't be needed in the afterlife, but love is always there. Love will go on forever. Emotions will fail you. This doing love is not an emotion. Emotions will fail you. Emotions change like the seasons. Communication can break down, can become escalated in chaotic misunderstanding. In other words, it can fail. But even if everything else has broken down and fails, supernatural love is there, strong by the Spirit. Love never fails, even when everyone is doing things that are not lovely. Love will always keep the relationship where God wants it to be in the midst of the storms. 1 Peter 4:8 says this, make yourself keep fervent in your love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. And so what all this means is that the only negative thing you can do with unfailing love is fail to manifest it. So I leave you with this, seek the most excellent way. Never, ever, ever stop. Keep checking yourself. Check yourself with 1 Corinthians 13. Be the Christian love expert that God has designed you to be. Amen?